Welcome to the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast. Chris and Alan will be sharing unique and raw insight on what it takes to succeed. Both hosts are authors and businessmen and have been mentoring and consulting for their clients for over 50 years with their combined knowledge. So, without further ado, we have an exciting show for you today. Let's get started.
Hi, it's Christopher Cumbie here with Think Bold, Be Bold and my awesome co-host, Alan Witch. Alan, how are you?
Hey, doing great, Chris. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Thank you. It's a beautiful day here in Florida, along the beach, along the coast, the Gulf of Mexico. And, you know, I always like to reflect on, you know, what we have coming up. And, you know, today is no exception. And we've been blessed with the people that have come on. But this, you know, young gentleman that I am going to introduce today, and usually I give the unique pleasure to Alan. But, you know, I met Greg, couple years now, being at the Brian Tracy TV show. And, you know, he's got a dynamic personality, and you're going to hear that today, and he's got big dreams. And that's something that, you know, I resonate well with when I hear people going and, what Peter Diamantis would call moonshots. And I know Greg follows Peter and knows Peter particularly because he's also partners with Nick Nanton and their DN agency. I'll let him talk about a lot of that. But today, I want to give a warm welcome and, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, a big thank you for Greg taking some time out from his big, big, bold goals that he's working on. Greg Rolette is in the house.
Welcome,
dude,
Greg.
In the house, man. I'm excited to be here. It's going to be fun.
In the house. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, I know you're a great speaker, for one. And listen, everybody, today, get your journals out. Get your pens, you know, ready to go, because this guy has a lot of great ideas. I mean, he's a, you know, really great marketer, but he's launched something pretty cool. And I, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today, because I think it's amazing. It's a big, big goal. And he's got some lot of great ideas to share with you guys. But before we get to Greg, I think, passing it over to Alan so he can say a few things just to get things rolling here. And we're going to, you know, start with you, Alan, and get Greg moving on the show today.
Hey, great introduction. Thanks, Chris. Once again, Greg, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time out of your day, your week, to spend with us. Very much appreciated. You have so much in the pipeline. You have so much that you've racked up. You have so many people that you have benefited. I don't really even know where to start, except that you have got your fingers in so many pies. And it's actually quite impressive from the entrepreneur standpoint, which is what a lot of our listeners are, whether they're full-time or part-time entrepreneurs, whatever their industry might be, because we have a lot of different folks from many different industries. So I know that everybody's going to be able to benefit from anything that you'd be able to give us today. But Chris is right. I mean, you've got some big, huge goals and some big, huge things you're doing right now, which for most people, like Chris might say, already are moonshots. You know, you're gonna get them to pull their thinking and their ideas and expand how they normally operate. And I think that's fantastic, and we sure appreciate you doing that. Tell us a little bit about, and I'm going to get right into it because I'm just dying to know more, ambitious.com. Tell us more about that. Tell us how, kind of where it came from and how you got to where you're at.
Yeah, so to do that, I'll take you guys back a little bit, and you'll notice I talk really fast, and that comes because when I was 16 years old, I wanted to be Master P. And if you don't know who Master P is, he was a hip-hop artist from New Orleans who started a record label called No Limit Records, and he essentially what he did is he started a record label, he signed himself to the record label, got a major distribution deal, and then signed everybody in his neighborhood to the record label. And at 16 years old, I'm like, dude, this guy's got the nice cars, he's got big gold chains, he's got the nice watches, he's got the girls. Like, dude, why don't I just do this? I create a record deal for myself, and then I'll sign all my neighbors to the record label. And I did that at 16 years old. I started a record label called Tamarack Records. I convinced my high school to let me out of school at noon every day to start this project, and I got credit for it. So my senior year of high school, they let me out of school at noon. I recorded my first album, did it all myself, self-funded. put it out, sold 1,000 copies. I mean, imagine a 16, 17-year-old kid, you know, selling 100 copies of a CD on a Friday night at $10 a piece. You make a grand on a Friday night. Like, you're the cool kid in high school, man.
For sure.
But I think the ambitious stuff started then. I mean, even just as a little kid growing up, and you know, Chris, Allen, I'm sure you guys felt the same way. Like, you know, you saw yourself at 7, 8 years old wanting to be a pro baseball player, a pro football player, or an actor, or an astronaut, or, you know, this really cool job that you put on a pedestal, and that part of me never died, right? And so I went from wanting to be a pro athlete to being a rapper. I was fortunate enough, I did get to tour the country. I played in Madison Square Garden. I played in the Knitting Factory in LA, everywhere and in between. And now those dreams, they don't stop. But for so many people, they get out of college and they go get the job or whatever the situation is. They get married, they get the kids, and they get really complacent with their life. And those big dreams turn into, oh my God, I can't wait till Friday so I can just turn on Netflix for like 6 hours. And that's not life to me, right? Now, trust me, there are days that all I freaking want to do is put on Netflix for an hour, right? But that's once. That's once every other month. That's once a month when you're burnt out because you've lived your life. Because you're going out and you're taking advantage of the abundance that's out there, as Peter Diamandis would say. There is an abundance of life happening, and I want to show people that. I want to show them that, you know, life's not over at 25. Life's not over at 30. Life's not over at 35. Life's not over at 40. I know, Chris, you're doing a complete reinvention of yourself right now, too, with the new book you got coming out and kind of the things you're trying to do.
At 45. I'm waiting for you to say 45. I thought I wasn't going to make the cut.
But you can reinvent yourself, right? There's a great quote. I think it's Benjamin Franklin, and I might misquote the Benjamin Franklin part, but he says that, you know, most people die at 25, but they're not buried until they're 60 or 70. And I think that that's so true today, especially with so I'm 33. So even younger than me, in my generation, they take this thing out, the cell phone, and they're sitting there and they're just scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And they're seeing their friends on Instagram. They're seeing their acquaintances that they went to high school doing cool stuff. And they go, and they're watching life pass them by instead of creating their life. And that's really why we built Ambitious. The second half of that is that I believe, and Chris, I know you do, and Alan, you do as well, is that entrepreneurship really is the key to creating the life that you really want, right? Sure. If you want the flexibility, if you want the freedom, if you want the ability to dictate how you live your life, entrepreneurship is the key to that. So we want to teach, our new mission is right behind me. There's a whiteboard. You can't see it. It's off camera. That it says that we want to help 1 million people start a business before they turn 30 years old. Right. And this is really, really important to us. We want to see young people take the risks when they have the opportunity to, right? They have more freedom, they have flexibility, they have less overhead. They can make mistakes now and it's okay, right? It's, you know, Chris, you mentioned, you know, we were just joking about the 45-year-old thing, but it's harder for you to take a risk now at 45 than for someone who's 23 right out of college where, you know, they're splitting an apartment with four people and they're paying $300 a month rent. Like, God, I don't remember the last time I paid $300 a month for rent. And so we really want to help people to start businesses, even if they don't become lifelong entrepreneurs, but to see that, you know what, you can design your life. You can go out and create opportunities for yourself. You can help people and solve problems and have a mission and do these incredible things. And so that's really what I'm passionate about, is helping people to break out of the rut of watching life pass them by. And I personally believe that the best way to not let life pass you by is to start a business. And so those are really the two things that we're real passionate about. And that's why we've gone out and started to build the platform under ambitious.com.
I love it. And just the name Ambitious is just such a powerful and resonates with people, and it's exactly what you're intending to do. And I love the mission. 1 million people start a business before the age of 30. You know, what a great mission. And that's, you know, that's bold and it's big and I love it. And anything we can do to support that. In fact, you know, my son is 22, so who do you think is going to listen to this podcast first?
Built-in audience, I like it.
You know, that's really exciting, Greg, and I love it. And in fact, you know, this is a fact. I started my business at the age of 29, so I met the goal, fast forward quite a few years. But, you know, 29 for me was a time that, quite frankly, to your point about being involved in a corporation and letting life kind of pass me by. I had a lot of things happen to me at that time frame. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, it was time for me to do something so that I can, you know, start to create and get involved. So thank you for, you know, that wonderful introduction. And I can't listen. I don't want to talk anymore. I just want to listen to you. Even though you're going, you know, super fast, but that's your style. And I think people can really, you know, grab what you're saying and that energy that you're bringing. So Thanks for that. And you know, hip hop. Tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, again, I know you have your own band. In fact, if I'm correct, you've resurrected some of that. If I'm correct in hearing some of the things that are buzzing out there.
Yeah, well, because I'm bored, right? Running four companies and, you know, wife, two kids. I know you got some little ones too, you know, a 3-year-old and 1.5-year-old for me. And so I'm bored with all that. So,
hey, Greg, actually, get some ambition, will you?
Exactly. So, we have an event every September, the Bestseller Summit that we do out in Hollywood, California. And at the end of that, after we have a black tie event, everybody comes up, they get their award for becoming a bestselling author and all this great stuff. And we throw a huge after party. We have an incredible musician that comes up. And every year I get up there and, you know, it's for our clients. I mean, these people are some of my best friends. Like Chris, I know we've worked together and, you know, you've become a friend more so than a client or someone that we work with. And, sure. You know, so I just go up there and I just have a blast. You know, I've had a couple adult beverages and we get up and, you know, just do a couple songs. It's been fun. And, you know, my partner Jack's been encouraging me to get back to it, do a little bit more to again, it adds to the story. It adds right. to what I can tell people about who I am and what I do. And actually, one of our my right-hand man in my business, he's 28 years old, and he's just come down with stage 4 Hodgkin's for the second time in his life. So he's now battling cancer, second time at the age of 28. And I wanted to do something to raise some money for him, for his family. And so we're actually putting together a concert at the end of this month to do that. It's one of those things. So now I'll relate this back to business and to the listeners, right? Is that when you create a platform, whether you're a musician, you're an artist, you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner, when you have a platform, be it a blog, be it a podcast, be it a video show, be it live events, be it everybody comes to your coffee shop and drinks coffee, you have the ability to influence people, to persuade people, to get people to take action on what you do. And I know that I've built somewhat of a platform, right? And we're working to grow that platform even bigger. But I know that, you know, the people that subscribe to my email list, that watch my videos up on Facebook and YouTube, they listen to me. They try. Trust me, they like what I do and they take my recommendations. And I wanted to use that platform now, not just for business purposes, but now for social good. Like, can I go and raise, you know, a couple thousand dollars at a concert for this guy? Can Absolutely. I go and put on a webinar where I can teach people really cool stuff? And then at the same time, you know, can I raise $100,000 for this guy? That's the platform that I love. There's if you guys aren't familiar, I encourage everyone to go on Facebook and follow Humans in New York. If you're not following this, you really should. And the reason why is because this guy's built a platform just on Facebook. It's Humans in New York. He's a photographer, and he goes and he photographs people and gets their stories in the city of New York. And within minutes, I'm talking minutes, he has hundreds of thousands of likes, tens of thousands of comments, people just pouring in support for refugees, for homeless people, for people that want to start a business. These people are getting loans. He's done some like Kickstarter-ish type campaigns to raise money for schools and things, and raising hundreds of thousands of dollars in minutes, not days, not weeks, not months. That is the power of a media platform, right?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the Oprah effect, right? Oprah has a platform. Whatever she says, if she recommends a book, guess what? You sell a ton of books, right?
For sure.
And so when you build a platform as a business owner, you have the ability both to promote your services, right? So I have a big email list. If I have a new product, I can just go email them and say, hey, buy my product. You know, a little bit more better marketing speak and copy. But the gist of it is, if I have a list of people that trust me, I can say, hey, I got a cool new thing. I bet you'd like it. Go check it out. If you have a podcast like you guys do, you're able to bring on guests and you're able to take the trust that you've built with your audience and the influence you have with your audience and say, hey, we got this Greg guy. He's pretty cool. You should listen to him. And you've built this trust with your audience to say, hey, guess what? We're going to go listen to Greg. Or hey, when your book launches, you'll have built this platform. You say, hey, my book's ready to launch. Go check it out. Now, you can also use it for social good, to raise money for causes, things like that. So one of the biggest business lessons I can give to anyone listening right now is think about the platform that you are trying to build for yourself, right? Instant power, instant credibility, building trust, building the brand. But it really, there's so much positive that comes with building a platform. This is like my outside of the ambitious stuff that I talk about, platform is my biggest thing, right?
I knew that. Mm-hmm. Now,
go
Greg,
ahead.
I'm just going to interrupt you just for one moment, because you're really on a hot topic here, because a lot of our audience, as we'd mentioned earlier, are entrepreneurs, and they may not know exactly how to build a platform. And I know you teach that. So why I wanted to interrupt at this moment in time is just to, you know, give you a plug on how they can contact you, get involved, learn from you, because I certainly have, and I'm watching, you know, everything that you send out and getting some really great ideas just from the free stuff that you send out. Now, I probably should start paying you some money.
And I'll take it from you. Don't get me wrong.
You know, but let's face it. You know, that's the good that Greg does is, you know, he knows that it will circle back because, again, he's built up that trust, that influence. And, you know, he's a great gentleman for that. But check out his stuff. Greg, how do they do that? Because I want you to keep going. But quickly, how do they find out how to learn from you?
Yeah. Totally. So one of the cool things I do is I do twice a month, I get on a live video, like a live streaming video, and I coach people on this stuff, how to build a media platform and how to market yourself and your business. And you also get a physical print newsletter. Imagine that. I'm a young kid and I send stuff to people in the mail, right?
I love
with it. Real paper mm-hmm. stamps. And people love it. We have a couple hundred members. It's really great. And if they go to cxmelite.com, you can get a 30-day trial membership for $9. So like the price of a coffee at Starbucks. You can get them for 30 days, show up to two of the live trainings, get one of the newsletters in the mail. And, you know, if you think I'm cool, you'll stick around. If you don't think I'm cool, you won't stick around. And there's no harm, no foul. It's a great group of people. It's like a friendship thing. Like a lot of these people, like I want them to succeed more than I want myself to succeed, and that's what we built. If they want to stick around from there, it's like $100 a month. And then kind of going back to my employee issue with his health concerns, we are going to be doing a charitable type 4-week training teaching people how to create a platform. I don't have all the details yet, but they find me on social media, Greg Roulette, they'll find out about that. We'll be doing like a 4-week live training and where all the proceeds go to pay his medical bills. So we'll be doing that sometime soon as well. So I appreciate you letting me plug that. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know,
what a nice gift to be able to
do cool stuff, good stuff, and really just help people with what we're doing.
So Greg, that's fantastic that you've put together, you know, an event and a specific course utilizing your influence with others. And, you know, just again, that's thank you for doing that, because again, I think a lot of people would really love to be able to do that for people that and their loved ones and their friends that, you know, may be faced with the same situations in life.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people want to do that. They want to give back. They want to be a part of the community. They want to be able to help people, but they haven't built the foundation of which that they can do that, right? So either they're in a job and, you know, the only person they can really ask is their boss, or they're an entrepreneur, or a business owner, and really all they have is, you know, their customers and their employees, and they haven't built what I'm calling here this media platform. And I think that it's so important that people take the time to do that because, you know, I know you guys do some cool production and stuff like that, but really you can have a podcast by talking into a microphone into your computer, right? You can, absolutely. You know, mm-hmm. you can use like mm-hmm. freeconferencecall.com on your way home from the office and talk and record yourself for 30 minutes on the drive home. You can, you know, get out your iPhone that you pay, you know, a bunch of money for every month and shoot some video. You can, you know, write words onto a free WordPress blog. So I think that a lot of people get hung up on technology, they get hung up on costs, they get hung up on I don't know where to start, and I think that if you take the time to overcome some of the technological barriers or take some of the technological barriers away and you get down to what do I have that I want to share with the world? What are, and this is one of the things I teach a lot of, is what are your opinions of authority? What are the things that you talk about that you take at the heart as fact, but really are just opinions, right? That's what the best people that have media platforms in the entire world do. So I talk about a lot of the big conservative talk radio guys, right? The Glenn Becks of the world, the Rush Limbaughs of the world, the Sean Hannitys of the world, the Dave Ramsey of the world, whether you love their messages or not, what they've been able to do is they have built an audience of people who take every word that comes out of their mouth as fact, right? Whether mm-hmm. you believe that is fact or not is irrelevant, but the people that listen to their show take that as fact. So what I want you to think about as you're listening to this right now is what do you believe in so wholeheartedly that you take as fact that you need to share with the world? Right. So for me, mm-hmm. my two messages that I take as that I personally believe are fact, even though they are opinions, is that everyone under the age of 30 should start a business. That is an opinion, because most people will say, no, go to college, get job, buy house, you know, get credit card debt, you know, do all this stuff. I say, no, screw all that. Go and start a business. If you're under 30, start a business. That is an opinion of authority that I have. That's an opinion that I have, but because I have created the platform for myself, I can take that and people listen to me and they go, yes, that is what I should do, right? The other opinion from a business standpoint is that I think you can't survive today without a media platform. Now, that is an opinion. right? Because someone else is going to say, you can't start a business without a Facebook post, or you can't start a business without doing direct mail, or whatever it is. I say you can't have a business today without a media platform. That is something that I take, to me, that is a fact, right? But other people are going to, you know, have differing opinions on that. So what do you believe wholeheartedly? And what are your thoughts about money, about success, about religion, about time, about productivity, about whatever it is? If you're a dentist, what are the opinions that you have about how someone should treat their dental life? If you're a financial advisor, what are the opinions you have about how someone should invest their money? That's where you start. Start there, because then it's easy, because now you're talking from the heart. You're talking from something that you care about. You're talking from something that you're passionate about. I know, Christopher, when we were hanging out in the bus leaving Google and Tesla together, I started talking to you about your book, and you said that one of the biggest things was like journaling. You believe that everyone should journal.
Absolutely. Right?
But while you construe that as something everyone must do, that is an opinion, right? Because other people say, no, meditate or exercise or whatever, right? But you believe wholeheartedly in that because that's what changed your life. That's what got you to the successful place that you have. It's easy for you to talk about that. It's authentic. You're not having to BS anyone. You're not having to, you know, fake it for the camera. You're like, no, like journal. Journal every freaking morning or whatever your strategy is. But you're authentic then. And people are going to be magnetically attracted to that. And that's when you're able to build that platform, you're able to build that authority, you're able to build that trust with an audience, is when you come from that place of authenticity of something that you really believe in. Like, I truly believe in a media platform, and I've done it. I've done it like a couple dozen times now with different podcasts and video shows and blogs and email lists and Facebook pages. Like, I've done it. It's not something, it's not theory, it's not something. Like, I bust my chops, and I've done this in industries that aren't make money online or, you know, teach you how to grow a business. I used to teach musicians how to market themselves online. Like, that's like the worst market ever. Because no musician wants to spend money to market themselves online. And I did it successfully for a very long time. I sold bird feeders. I sold hammocks. Like, I've done weird stuff. All of them centered around a media platform. And so, again, as you're listening to this, the lesson is, what do you feel so passionately about that you believe is fact that you can start a platform based around? And I think that's where people need to start. The second piece of that, and you guys cut me off at any time, but I'm just rocking.
You're on a roll. This is great.
Answered four questions I had already. Keep going.
So then the second piece of that, as you're building your media platform, is what platform, right? So you say, all right, cool. I'm super passionate about journaling, right? But now you need to pick a platform. And I really recommend that people really just start with one, because you see the Facebook posts all the time. They're like, I'm going to start a new daily video show and a 3 times a day blog, and I'm going to tweet 30 times a day. And they like make these grand ambitions. And then after like 3 days, they stop doing it. And I think it's because they bite off more than they can chew. So in the beginning, I say pick one platform. And there's three basic ways to get your message across. You can write it, you can talk about it, or you can be on video. Right? And those are the three I want people to focus on. Now, within those, there's a lot of different media pieces, right? So if you're going to talk it, you can start a podcast, but you can also get on a radio show, right? I did a radio show here in Orlando for 6 months. You know, incredible way to get in front of an audience. If you're doing video, you could do a YouTube video. You could do a Periscope video. You could do Facebook video. You could do your own blog type thing. If you're going to write, you could do a paper newsletter. I do paper newsletters, but I also have an email list. I also have blogs. So out of all of that, pick the one. And I always say, pick the one that's most comfortable for you. Like, if you don't like being on video, don't start a video show, right? If you don't like writing, don't write. If you, there's honestly, there's not one that's better than the other. Podcasts, I do in one of my presentations, I say, like, podcasts are like so hot right now. Like, everyone's doing podcasts. But it's not for everyone. But just because podcasts are hot right now doesn't mean that people aren't reading blogs. People aren't reading blogs because your content sucks, because you're not a good writer, right? You know, people are watching your videos because you're boring on video. So find the media or the medium that you're comfortable at, that you're good at. I don't think that there's one better than the other, but like Dave Ramsey is freaking really good on the radio. Like, he is really, really good on the radio. That probably doesn't come across as well in a written format, right? So he sticks to what he's good at. I'm a big purveyor of play to your strengths as opposed to get better at your weaknesses. No, play to your strengths. If you're great at just getting on the phone and talking to somebody, start a podcast, right? If you're great at, you know, staying up till 4 a.m, banging on keys, then write. If you love being on video, get on video. So find that topic that you are so passionate about, that you have an opinion of authority around, and then pick one platform and go all in. Now, this isn't started today and it's going to be a mountain of success tomorrow. It is a slog. It is a long-term, in the trenches, building it out thing. But you will have that platform like I have for my buddy Dan, like Humans of New York is built, like Oprah's built, that you guys are building on your podcast. You will do that if you pick to something you're very strong and opinionated, and you can build people that believe in your cause. And I think that is like my number one key to success right now.
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
And, you know, I'm just going to say one thing, and I know, Alan, you're itching for a couple of questions here, but, you know, you heard it. When you're passionate about something and you have a strong opinion, then, you know, you're coming across authentic. And I think that, you know, you get to step back and think about. And on your point about different, you know, modalities of going out there and creating a media platform, you know, I enjoy all three, and I do a little bit of, you know, all of them. But, you know, I certainly love being on this radio show and doing these things. So it seems to take up a lot more of my time. So there is that essence of doing a little bit of other things that you can do in order to put a blog out once a month. But you have a podcast five times a month or something. So you can have both. And Greg, those work in conjunction with each other, I would imagine, because it just spreads your message even further. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. So what I just gave was the primer for how to get started, right? So as you start growing that base, 100% they play to each other because, you know, people consume content in different places. Some consume it on Facebook, some like it via email, some like it via Twitter, some like it via, you know, wherever their consumption place is. And they do all feed off each other. So like for Ambitious, I'll post a 15-second sponsored ad on Facebook that will lead back to, you know, a landing page for a longer video where I'm getting an email address, and then I'm sending emails to them. And then my paid subscribers are now going to get a print newsletter. So they do all play with each other as you grow the platform. What I think is people think that they need all of that on day one, right? I don't think that you can do that on day one because you do spread yourself too thin. But once you've got traction on one, yes, then you add in the second vertical. So Dave Ramsey, great example, right? I love Dave from a business model standpoint. Don't always agree with him on the other stuff, but from a business model standpoint, on the radio 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, right? That's 15 hours a week. Like, I don't talk to my wife for 15 hours a week, right? So if you're listening to Dave every day, he is building this foundation. But then he sends you back to the website. And on the website, he has articles. He's got subscription sites. He's also got books that he can send you to. He does live events. He has the Entree Leadership stuff. So he uses the one channel, radio, and then feeds them to all the different spokes. And I think that if you're looking for a model, that's a great one to kind of look at from the outside coming in. But you're 100% right. They all feed off each other, but you got to start in one place. Build that base and then expand from there, because otherwise you're going to spread yourself too thin and you're not going to see traction and you're going to be like, man, I've been doing this for like 2 months and I got six readers and I should probably give up.
Sure, and you lose you know, maybe some motivation and some momentum on that. So thanks for clearing that up. Alan, take us away.
Yeah, fantastic stuff, Greg. You're talking about how I see this is to a degree you're mentally mastering something that you're good at. Now you may not actually truly master it, but you feel comfortable with it. You like it. You're able to implement it. People are able to follow you, and you're starting to build your platform. You're starting to build your exposure. You're starting to build people that follow you because of your relatability, your honesty, your transparency, and so forth, and your mission, your statement, and the things that you believe in. Let's talk now, if you could, about as you get those things set up, what are your thoughts? And I know a number of people have asked me this, and I know what I tell them, but I really want to hear what you think on collaboration of ideas and collaboration of a business possibilities and so forth. What do you say to somebody when they ask you about collaboration? Is it a good thing, and how do I implement that, or where do I go to get it, and how do I get it?
So I'm going to answer the question in a way that I feel like I can expertly answer the question. And with building a platform, the best way to, I think, expand your reach, the people that you can impact through your platform, is through the involvement of other people, right? There, bar none, the best traffic and traction we've gained with every platform I've ever been on is when I get other people involved in the process. So tangible example, we on ambitious.com, we write about a lot of different small businesses. We interview people. We do features. We go in and we do video at their place. And we do look for people that have large social followings, right? I look for somebody that has a lot of Twitter followers or Instagram followers or has a big platform because I want access to their network, right? So like even me being on your podcast today, when it's it's done and it's up, you're going to send me the link, and guess what? Well, I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to tweet about it. I might put it in my newsletter. I might grab a couple quotes from it and create some quote cards for Instagram. You're going to get in traffic because of my platform. And so if you're interviewing one person a week, that gets you four times the reach than if you were just doing it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really big. So from a collaboration standpoint, I think – and as a stubborn entrepreneur, it took me a long time to realize that I can't do it by myself, right? Mm-hmm. I can't do it alone, that I need help, that I need guys like you to say, hey, Greg, we'd love to have you on the show, because now I get access to new places, because I might spark an idea and you guys might hit me up tomorrow and be like, hey, on the podcast you were talking about this, I can help you with that, or I have an idea for that, or I'd love to introduce you to this guy who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago. When I talk to some of my friends growing up that we've started businesses and stuff together, we always say, like, dude, when we sell our company for, you know, $50 million, $100 million, I want all my friends to be there with me, because it sucks to be at the beach on Tuesday by yourself, mm-hmm. right? We are a collaborative society. That's why we have partners. It's why we have spouses. It's why we have kids. It's why we have best friends. And business shouldn't be treated any differently. You should have people around you that are pushing you to go forward. The concept of the mastermind. But even through your media platform, bringing it back to that, involvement of other people is how you're going to get further faster, right? Yeah, sure, you can buy more ads, you can buy more PPC traffic, you can buy more Facebook ads, you can do all that stuff, but nothing is better. So we did an article, we went out and we interviewed Ashlyn Harris, who is the backup goalie for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They had a game here mm-hmm. in Orlando, and we got mm-hmm. down there, we interviewed her. She's got 1 million-plus Facebook followers, 2 million-plus Twitter followers, right? Wow. So she tweets, if she just tweeted once about us, it'd be awesome. She tweeted the thing 4 or 5 times. She went out on Facebook and just posted about it. And, you know, within minutes, that day, in a 24-hour standpoint, we had 60,000 people read that one article.
Wow.
Right? Whereas if I just posted something and said some of the similar things, we'd have 5,000 people, 10,000 people. So now imagine if you multiply that. What if you did one interview like that every single day? So now 60,000 times 30. Well, now you have a very, very big site. You mm-hmm. have a lot of eyeballs. And if you're doing a good job of capturing that, turning those into email subscribers or however you want to communicate with them, the collaboration aspect of this whole thing is the multiplier effect. It is the way to 10x your business. It's the way to 10x your platform, is by involving other people, even to other standpoints. So we do a lot of print newsletters for our clients. I have a real estate agent. We do a print newsletter for her. She sends it to all of her clients. And in every single one of her newsletters, we interview a local nonprofit that she donates money to. We also interview someone that she works with in her business. So a real estate agent might work with a stager, or they might work with a contractor, or they might work with a title company or a specific mortgage broker. So every month we interview one of them. And guess what? She prints an extra 100 of those newsletters and gives them to that mortgage broker. Now, what does the mortgage mm-hmm. broker do? The mortgage broker gives it out to all her best customers. And who are her best customers? People that are buying houses, right? And so right. involving other mm-hmm. people and getting them involved is the great multiplier of a media platform.
Fantastic. We're done.
That is incredible. Just incredible. You know, I'm here caught taking a whole bunch of notes.
Oh, yeah.
And just, again, you know, we always suggest that, you know, when you come to our show, this is a learning platform. And Greg, you know, thank you so much for bringing, you know, ideas to the table, spewing off, you know, different things that you can get started on, taking advantage of your, you know, car ride home, and you can talk to yourself and record it. You know, just incredible things that you're throwing out there. And, you know, Greg, I have to put it out there, because, again, we could talk to you all day long, and there's lots of things to talk to you about, but I'd love for you to come back sometime this year, 2016, and share again, because I definitely want to hear about your big ambitious goal and your bold, mission of, you know, helping a million people start a business before they're 30, and I'd love to get caught up on that. So please come back, you know, when you can, and I know you're busy doing a lot of things.
Yeah, well, I'd like us to be a part of that. I'd like us to help you out in any way we can to be able to help you visualize that, even if we're just a small piece.
Absolutely.
And again, like I said earlier, I'd love to help, because every, you know, it just creates that momentum. And I think that's what's fun. And I think that's what's fun about the entrepreneurship aspect. And us going out, like next week, we're going out to a business that was started by a University of Florida graduate. They're 24 years old. They've grown from 0 to 5 million in 18 months within organic beauty company. So like organic skincare stuff and things of that nature, and just shaking up the landscape. And it's contagious. So in 18 months, A, he's gone from 0 to 5 million sales, but guess what? He's also employed employed 30 people in the local community mm-hmm. that might not have had jobs. B, he's going the all organic and natural route. So that's impacting the suppliers, and that's impacting entrepreneurship impacts and affects so much stuff. That it's just crazy. We're in the talks right now. We're about to shoot a pilot for a reality show where we're going to do a travel show. But you know, most travel shows are seen through the eyes of the food. But right. we're going to do a travel show from the eyes of the entrepreneur, because the entrepreneur is the one who is in the community. They're building the buildings. They're hiring the people. They have vendor relationships. They're going out to lunch in the community. And we want to see cities and towns all throughout the world through the eyes of the people who are building the city and the town. And so we're going out and we're doing that. And I think that's going to be contagious, because they're going to see, like, you know, this guy who opened a coffee shop, he's a military veteran who just came back from Iraq and, you know, got his GI Bill, and he did this and he did that, and he went and he built this small coffee shop, and now a dollar from every, you know, cup goes back to Wounded Warrior, and he's built this great foundation. He does really, like, that's the person I want to share, because that's infectious.
That is amazing.
Because someone goes, hey, I want to do that too, and I want to help him to be able to do that. And Christopher, you know, just because you and I have spent time together, and I'm sure Alan, you have the same view. It's like, this stuff is contagious. Like,
for sure.
Again, going back to authenticity, like, you guys can't really see me right now, but I'm jacked up. Like,
we can hear it.
Yeah, like, I'm not happy to
hear it.
Yeah, like, I'm not having to stretch for this. Like, I'm excited to talk about this. And when you get talking about businesses and the ideas start flowing, like, it is contagious. And I think that's where the million person thing comes from. Is like, I don't need to get in front of a million people. I can get in front of 100,000 people. And they're going to share it so much that we're going to get to those million people, because it is contagious. It's the butterfly effect. It's the steamroll. And so, I'd love for you guys, any way that you can, you know, just introduce me to young entrepreneurs or feeding the mission, because it's I truly believe it's a solution to eradicate poverty. It's a solution to get people out of bad situations. It's it's also the solution to ADD. Like, all these kids with ADD and ADHD, the solution is entrepreneurship. Sure. It's the entrepreneur gene. I'm a true believer in that. There's a great book by the ADHD entrepreneur out there, and it talks about ADHD being the entrepreneur drug, and so it's a way to eradicate that. I mean. Anyway, I could go on and on, as you could hear.
No, but, I love it. And you know, not to mention, and I love your idea, you know, and it's true. And not to mention, what you're going to do is you're actually highlighting all the people that make the food, you know, and create all that food. So that's fantastic. And, you know, what a great idea. And, you know, another point I just want to make, and we didn't touch on it, but anything we can do with your concert and what you're doing for your friend, please let us know. Happy to contribute, get the message out there, and do anything we can to help that cause.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. And we'll circle back after on that piece. But, you know, I have to ask you a question, Greg, because obviously you're just full of energy, and you've got such a passion about doing a lot of things. And, you know, I know that you give back. And I just like to highlight that, because you've got a lot of great business ideas, a lot of great ways to make money, and a lot of ways to utilize the things that you've learned. But I also know that you've got a huge heart. And I know that along with your, you know, your partners, you guys are doing some extraordinary things to give back. And can you highlight something there, just again to highlight you know, who you guys are, and specifically, you know, your involvement, Greg, would be awesome.
Totally. So this actually comes at a really good time. I just came back from the Dominican Republic about a week and a half ago. We were down there with an organization by the name of Esperanza. And this goes to talk about the strength and power of entrepreneurship. So Esperanza was founded by a former Major League Baseball player, Dave Volley. He played for the Seattle Mariners. He's now the color commentator for the Mariners. And when he was trying to get into and break into the big leagues, he would go play winter ball down in the Dominican Republic. And when he would, you know, finish the game, he would see the kids outside. And, you know, being from the U.S., you'd think that they all want his autograph, right? You see the little kids with their hand up. You think that they want an autograph. What they really wanted was food. And it really struck him. And he was with a girlfriend at the time, who then became his wife. And so they bought him some chickens and some food for that night, and they got to eat. But as they went home and they sat in their hotel that night, they knew that that was just a one-night fix, because tomorrow they still need to eat again. And they came up with this concept, and then they didn't come up with the concept, but they really built it down the DR of micro lending. And what they do is they give small loans, about $250 US, to women entrepreneurs, so the female entrepreneurs, to help them to start a business. And these businesses range everything from, you know, they take the $250, one of them bought a pig for like $60 US, and she would feed it for like 6-9 months, get it to the right size, and then she would sell the pig for like $600. And so, but you got to think that $250 now needs to last to buy the food, to buy the upkeep, to pay the bills, and also also repay the loan, you know, during that process. So while the pig only costs $60, well, it's got to eat and yada yada. And they have a they've helped thousands of people start businesses in the Dominican Republic, all female based entrepreneurs, because the women will the women, and so it's three dudes talking right now, but the women will take the money and give it back to the family and pay the bills and keep the overhead up and get food and clothing and shelter everyone. They found that the men will go and they'll go to the bar and they'll go get drinks or they'll go out to the club or they'll go buy an iPhone, you know, the stupid stuff that we do, right? So but it's incredible. And so we went down there. We filmed a documentary about the generational effects of women down there. And so this organization has been down there for 19 years. And so that means grandma got the loan 18, 19 years ago, started the business, passed the business down to the daughter. The daughter now has a daughter who is from the profits of the business now going to college for the first time. And they're actually going to break the cycle of poverty through entrepreneurship. So from a $250 loan 18 years ago to now sending grandkids to college, to university, to become doctors, to become engineers, to become, again, it's using entrepreneurship to break the cycle of poverty. And so we went down there, we're filming a documentary for the organization that we crowdfunded through some of our top clients that we put our own money into. A lot of the proceeds from our book sales go into the funding of the films and different things. And we're going to give it as a gift to Esperanza that then they can use to go get more donations and things to fund the to fund the stuff. But again, it centers all around that mission of entrepreneurship being the great equalizer in the world. And that's just one of the small things we've done. You know, over the past couple of years, we built entrepreneurship centers and orphanages. We go down and we built computer labs at different places. Again, it's the idea that knowledge, that information, and the starting a business has the ability to change your life. And it doesn't have to be a $50 million idea, a $100 million idea. For most people around the world, $100 a month, $500 a month business. For many people in the United States, if you could help them make just an extra $1,000 of discretionary income, that would change your life. An extra $1,000 that wasn't going towards bills would radically change the lives of millions of Americans. They could not worry about, you know, what they're going to eat for dinner that night. They could pick up a bar tab for their friends. They could go get that hotel room. Hell, you can get a freaking Porsche, you know, for like $1,000 a month if that's what you wanted. And so, you know, that's where entrepreneurship lies. You can go and work your day job, 9 to 5, and go to the farmer's market and sell your tomato sauce and make an extra $500 every single weekend, $1,000 every weekend. What would that do to change your life? And so that's kind of the work that we really want to share with Ambitious, and that's some of the charitable work that we do on that side as well.
That's amazing, Greg. And I'm glad, you know, I asked that question because it was, you know, something that a lot of times, you know, we talk about business, but, you know, I know that you guys have some amazing things you've been doing, and I'm glad you highlighted that. Thank you very much.
Definitely, man.
Alan, where are we going next?
Fantastic. We've been all over the place. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you haven't hit. I mean, I love the philanthropic ideas that entrepreneurship can bring. And I know that I talk a lot about that and I coach a lot about that, that I believe that, you know, techno-philanthropy is going to be the next way to help solve a lot of these problems. And by proof of what you're doing right now, it's an idealistic showing of how possible that is and how easy that is, how simple that is when you have the platform. So the platform is not only for you, it's for what you can do. And I realize that's not a question, but I honor you for not only doing that, but for building that idealistic platform and showing people how to do it and that it's achievable and doable at various scales.
Yeah. So, and
thanks, Greg, for doing that, man. I honor you for doing that.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys having the platform so that I can do this. You know, I appreciate you guys and what you're building and what you're accomplishing. And it's just great to hear more people spreading that message.
That's fantastic. And, you know, again, we're going to have Greg back on the show in 2016. I'm just going to reiterate a couple things for everybody just so that they can go and check out Greg and what he's got going on. Ambitious.com. Check out the great post. Check out my post. I put one in there as well.
exactly. And it was good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I not near hit some of the numbers the young lady did the other day, but I certainly saw a huge jump. Just speaking of the ability to reach out to others, and thank you for, you know, having me on that because it was awesome. But, you know, check out ambitious.com. You know, learn from Greg at cxmelite.com. It's an awesome place to go there. And, you know, obviously he's given away a huge value to get started, and you could probably learn so much just in 30 days alone. But I know if you follow Greg, you know, as well, you're going to get a ton of value just from the things he does. So sign up for the newsletters and make sure you're seeing Greg come in your email box, and you'll get the trust factor that we're talking about today. And because he doesn't, you know, he lets it loose. I mean, you can learn a ton from him. As I'd mentioned earlier, you know, Greg, as we're coming to the end of the show, we always love to, you know, leave our audience with something of great wisdom. And you certainly at a young age, sir, have, you know, gathered some great wisdom. And you know, it's because I know, and I know particularly, you circle yourself with some amazing people yourself. Not only in the mastermind that you guys have created, but just the ability to get yourself around, you know, you and your partner, Nick Nanton, and having that ability to be around a guy like, you know, Peter Diamantis, for example. Tony Robbins, and you know, the list goes on, and you guys have had an amazing opportunity to do that. Can you leave our audience today with one bold move, we like to call it, something that they can focus on? And I know you've done a lot already just starting out the show, and it could be the same thing as well, but I just want you to leave our audience today with something where, you know, they can ponder, think about, and actually take some action on so that they can start seeing their life improve. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah, and it's kind of going to be a reiteration of some of the stuff that I talked about, because it is truly what I believe in. But so the one bold action is to create one piece of content that is worth someone else's time to consume, right? So what that means is, don't create a throwaway podcast episode just because you had to create one this week. Don't write a blog post because you read some social media thing where you got to post one post a week. Don't, whatever it is. Like, we have, going back to Peter, so I'm actually hanging out with Peter Sunday night. I'm hosting a red carpet for his movie premiere out in LA. Awesome. And he said a quote in the movie, and he said it to President Clinton at the global, the Clinton Global Initiative. And he said that, he was holding up a cell phone, and he said that an African soldier in the jungles of Africa has more access to information than President Clinton did during his time in the Oval Office.
That's amazing.
Right? There are no excuses if you have ambitions, right? There are no excuses. If you want to learn how to, like, shoot a video, well, go to freaking YouTube and go in the search bar and say, how to film a video. You know, like, there are no more excuses. There was a great guy that we highlighted on ambitious.com. His name's Prince Harvey. He was a hip-hop artist from New York City. He lived in a house with like 8 or 10 other people. I mean, poor, no money, all this stuff. He was recording his album on an Apple computer, and the hard drive blew, right? So here's what most people would do in that situation. I'll just wait until I get another computer. I'll wait till I get my tax check back, and I'll use that to get a new computer. I'll wait till another opportunity comes up. Prince Harvey changed his mindset and said, I have something worth sharing with the world. I have songs that I need to be heard, because I know they'll change people's lives. They'll brighten up someone's day. He got on a bus for 45 minutes to and from every single day, drove to the Apple store for 90 days, 3 months, 90 days, went into the Apple store and recorded the album in the Apple store on one of the computers that was in the store. So imagine, like, grandma's next to you, like, looking at the iPhone. You got this dude who's just boom, 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 and he's freestyle. But he recorded all the beats, all the instrumentals. And
unbelievable.
It's the determination. So create something that's worth someone's time to consume. I will have a lot of intern writers, freelance writers, and they write something. And I say, are you proud enough of this piece to share it with your friends on Facebook? Are you proud enough of the content that you're creating that you want your friends to see this? And if not, then you're not creating something with enough heart, with enough passion, with enough sincerity, with enough authenticity. So my bold move is to create something that's worth someone's time to consume. Time is the most valuable resource that we all have, right? You're spending, we're like 50-something minutes into this podcast. If you spent 50 minutes with me and Chris and Alan today, it better have been worth your time, because you could have been watching Lost or listening to Oprah, checking out Dave Ramsey. But no, you're choosing to spend an hour with us.
I love that.
And so are you creating something for someone else's time? And we'll drop the mic there.
That's a great place to drop it, Greg. And, you know, thank you for sharing that, because, again, you're absolutely right on the time piece. And, well, we want to thank you, obviously, for your time today.
Totally, man. I appreciate you guys, and this has been fun. It's got me charged up. I got to go do a video interview after this, and now I'm all jacked up and ready to go. So it excellent. Worked.
Glad we could contribute.
I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Alan, why don't you take us away? Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, Greg. I really appreciate it. You know, I continued friendship for a long time to come. Appreciate all your help and your support, and taking it out. Taking that time out to show that as well. And that's one thing I love about you, is you're always willing to help. Everybody, you heard it here. Greg gave a ton of great stuff, and he'll be back again in sometime this year when we can find a little bit more time with him.
Fantastic, Greg. You know, the biggest thing the biggest compliment I can give you is that I'm 54 and I wish I knew you before I was 30. That would make you 9. I understand, and it would be a challenge. But thank you so much. There are so many, so much lives that you're impacting and that you have impacted. And you know, we're just humbled to be able to, you know, be around, to be able to foster and promote you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to say thank you for all of our listeners, because I think they got thumbs up today. And we sure want you back on. We're going to promote you. Let us know what we can do with any and all of your events and all the charities and all the things that you're doing, because that's really what this is all about. It's about that collaboration and that friendship. So thank you. Chris, as usual, fantastic. Thanks, buddy. I love working with you. This has been a great show. Greg, thanks again. Chris, roll us out.
Right back at you, my friend. Thank you, Greg, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Come to iTunes and give us a rating and some comments, and we'll continue to spread the good word to everybody that we can help. So it wouldn't be a show without me saying, do something nice for someone today.